It's good to be back home after traveling overseas, over 12,000 miles round trip. My family and I have had a wonderful family trip to Seoul, South Korea. I posted my Facebook. I said it was an amazingly fun family trip to Korea. We are so grateful to God for the perfect spring weather in Seoul and all the family fun things we have enjoyed and shared together. We are back in the United States and safely and joyfully. Thanks to everyone for your prayers. Thanks be to God. More photos to come, to follow. South Korea is not a big country in Asia. South Korea is about 20% of the size of California. All of South Korea would fit in the area between Los Angeles and San Francisco. Yes, the state of Texas is almost 7 times larger than South Korea. Wow. Nevertheless, it is said that it is a miracle that how South Korea became one of the world's fastest growing countries, especially after the Korean War and many other challenges. I'm sure you are familiar with the Korean brand names in electronics, appliances, and automobiles, right? Samsung, LG, Hyundai, Kia, and many, many more, right? Seoul is the capital city of South Korea. Seoul is about half size of Los Angeles, but its population is over 25 million, and while Los Angeles under 20 million, about 18.7 million. Everywhere we went to in Seoul, it looked like any Western city with many high-rise buildings and so many the international brand stores. It was such a delight to visit an ancient palace in the midst of the downtown Seoul. I'll show some photos later. I'm still arranging all these photos. Seoul was definitely not the same as 35 years when I left for the U.S. Of course, I've been there after that, but I left Seoul for U.S. in 1983. So everything was changed, obviously. Everywhere there were all kinds of American fast food chain restaurants. So it's like the same as McDonald's. Interesting thing is McDonald's here. They serve the bacon McMuffin with the eggs with a cup of coffee in a mug. you don't get to keep it. You have to return it, of course. And then, so I was feeling like I was walking down any other ordinary American street. As I remember, 35 years ago, there was no fast food chain restaurant in Seoul except for one, KFC. Speaking of KFC, recently my family and I enjoyed the chicken in Riverside, and its bucket says, "There are two types of people in this world, and they both like fried chicken." I guess except for vegetarians. In this world, there are so many people. You know how many people out there? According to the United Nations Population Division's estimates, the world's population in 2018, May 2018, is 7.6 billion people. So many people out there. Every single person is unique, though. Special and precious. Each person's value and taste are different, of course. Yes, we are many and we are different. However, everyone has one sure thing in common. Everyone loves to be loved. Raise your hand if you don't want to be loved. Nobody, right? Obviously. All the vegetarians included as well, of course. Everyone loves to be loved. When I made this statement as my sermon title, I was thinking, okay, probably. I hope I'm the first person who said this because I didn't know before, right? But later I found out, according to Google's, and it was already had been said by some people, including Mark Spitz, the former U.S. Olympic swimmer, that he already said, everyone loves to be loved. So, I believe this is a general statement of who we are as human beings. We always want to be loved. We always want to be recognized. We always want to be cared for. We always want to be the center of attentions. We always want to be appreciated. Yes, everyone loves to be loved. However, this morning, from the Gospel of John, Jesus is challenging us to go further in loving. Verse 9 from the Gospel, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Being loved is passive. If we only stay in being loved, no difference would be made. Nothing will change. Probably we would face more problems, turmoil, and even chaos because we're not being loved enough. Because everyone loves to be loved, not actually loving others. Whenever the word love appears in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, it is an active and even proactive form in our lives. Jesus is emphasizing in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Yes, loving one another is Jesus' greatest and new commandment. Giving and taking is one of the fair norms in life, in our societies. If loving is giving and taking is being loved, then for Christians, it should be and supposed to be way more giving than taking. The Jesuit priest and psychologist John Powell wrote a small book entitled, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? Insights on Self-Awareness, Personal Growth, and Interpersonal Communication. This is not a new book. It's an old book, published probably late 60s or 70s. According to the author, there are 5 levels of communication. I'm not going to go over all these 5. Level 5, the first one, the initial one, is called cliché. In English pronunciation, cliché conversation, which is the lowest level of self-communication. In fact, there is no communication except for some casual greetings, such as, how are you? How you doing? Or, it's good to see you. Of course, it's better than not saying at all. The author wrote, quote, there is no sharing of persons at all. Everyone remains safely in the isolation of his pretense, sham, sophistication. The whole group seems to be together, to be lonely together, unquote. This cliché conversation reminds me of Simon and Garfunkel's one of my favorite, yet timeless song, The Sound of Silence. The verse 3 goes like this. I don't want to sing that. And in the naked light, I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, right? Remember that, right? People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. And no one dared disturb the sound of silence. As a community of faith, we are called to be more than just saying hello or hi. We are saying we are a community of love, but are we living out God's love with one another, really? Are we truly pursuing heart-to-heart relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ within our community? Are we really trying to show our true love to our neighbors? Again, Jesus says in verse 17, I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Love is never a passive noun, but it's an active verb shown as the most important life application. The opposite word for love is not hatred. It's indifference toward others. No empathy, no interest, no feeling, no care, no heart, because it's not your concern or none of your business. Because you are too busy while taking care of your own matters to even think about other people, especially strangers or people we do not know. We are called to accept everyone and to love one another because God created us. God chose us and God loved us first. Jesus is saying in the Gospel of John, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Why would God do that for us? There is a purpose given from God. There is God's intention shown, verses 16 and 17. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commandments, these commands, so that you may love one another. Again, yes, in our whole life, which is so limited, we are commanded to love one another. Many of you know that John Wesley was the founder of our Methodism. The Wesleyan movement began and transformed many lives when John Wesley's three simple rules were adopted as a Wesleyan way of holy living. Number one, do no harm. Number two, do good. Number three, stay in love with God. Especially this number three, stay in love with God, is extremely important in order to be in connection with God and in relationship with everyone. After the resurrection, Jesus had a breakfast with his disciples. At that time, Jesus asked Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? How many times did Jesus ask Peter? Three times. Of course, Peter had denied Jesus three times before. So as a way of forgiveness and reconciliation, Jesus initiated three times these three same questions. Do you love me? However, we see more important thing is going on between Jesus and Peter, who actually can represent every Christian. Three times of the same question, do you love me? And three times of these same affirmative responses. Staying in love with God was the primary issue of a faithful life then, and it is today. when Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Peter asked, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Then what was Jesus' response? "Feed my sheep." Three times. "Are you saying that you do love me? Then feed my lambs." This morning, the Lord is asking you and me the same question. Do you love me? And you and I say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." His response, "Feed my sheep." We love our Lord. We are not just saying it. We must follow and do what he is asking of you and me. And we must fill one another's heart with God's love. James 1:27, Common English Bible Translation says, "True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties and to keep the world from contaminating us." Jesus himself has shown us this kind of true devotion through his sacrificial love. Going back to the Gospel of John 13, verse 13, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This is the highest example of love Jesus is expecting from you to follow, to and me to follow, laying down our lives for our friends, orphans and widows and neighbors and everyone you are encountering. Saint Augustine once said this, quote, "What does it look like? It has hands to help others, feet to hasten to the poor and needy, eyes to see misery and want, ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of people. That is what love looks like," unquote. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Mother's love is like God's love, always accepting, always forgiving, always caring for you. Do you remember this guy? This man named Greg Louganis, the famous U.S. Olympic diver in 1970s and 1980s. He earned 4 gold medals at Olympic Games, 2 in Los Angeles Games in 1984, and 2 in Seoul, Korea in 1988. And he got many other gold medals from other competitions. His hometown is El Cajon, San Diego. Many years ago at the Pan American Games, he was asked how he coped with the stress of international diving competition. He replied that he climbs to the board, takes a deep breath, and thinks, "Even though I blow this dive, my mother will still love me." Then he goes for excellence. My brothers and sisters in Christ, at the beginning of each day, how good it would be for each of us to take a deep breath and say, "Even if I blow it today, my God will still love me." Then, assured of grace, go into the day seeking for the best. Mother's love, father's love, love for family and friends, love for neighbors, love for homeless, love for everyone. All this love is from God. God's love is inclusive. God's love is unconditional. God's love is eternal. Let us stay in love with God. We all know that everyone loves to be loved, but now it is time for us to love beyond the love we used to know. Let's love one another just as Jesus loves you and me. Not just today, but also every day from now on. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand. Let's sing, "This is My Commandment."